You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
We enter hour number three with a handful of topics that we've thrown out there on the show today. Gus Kattengill with you. Join the intern. Ben, you're on the on-deck circle. Going to come to you in 60 seconds. We've been talking about LSU taking on Michigan State. Coming up Friday, 6:09. Following their 69-67 win over Maryland. Love to get some reaction from you on that as well. Dickie V was on... off the bench with Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert this morning. Did you hear it? Did you hear the interview? Have you listened to the replay to have it tweeted? We've retweeted it as well. Let me get your opinion on what you thought there as well. Again, some of the things that stood out, I thought some hard questions going back and forth. Dickie V saying people are tweeting him to die. I mean, it's what I expected the interview to sort of be, you know? Love to hear from you as well. That of course, has gotten in a lot of conversation of paying players. With the Zion cam that was on Friday, I mean, everybody was saying, you see, tell me it's just about the academics. I get it. It's fine. We want to pay them. I'm asking the question that a lot of people don't or just stop after pay. How? How do we do it? Cajun Goat suggested like a salary cap for teams. Dick Vitale today on the interview this morning on OTB said, do the shoe companies. And jersey sales or their likeness, things of that nature, right? If an oil change place wants to use them in a commercial, they can make money that way. I'm fine. Good with that. Because I've always said it's difficult to sit there and say the institution of the schools can do it. Not everybody makes that kind of money. We've gotten some tweets about that as well. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Ron Hunter, the new head coach for Tulane basketball, is going to be introduced formally tomorrow at noon over at Devlin Fieldhouse, if you want to go check it out. If you're a Tulane fan, I'd love to get your opinion on it. Coming from Georgia State, 3 NCAAs, 3 Sun Belt regular season titles under his belt since 2011. Robert Quinn visiting with the Saints today. Jordan the intern, Miami giving permission to Dallas and the Saints to have visits with him. Miami changing their defensive scheme. They're open to trading him. So both teams have had a chance to meet with him. We'll let you know the very latest in... Has Jared Cook signed yet before we go to Ben? Has he signed?
No.
He has not yet to sign, but it's coming. Apparently the Patriots made a run for him over the weekend or late last week, made a run for him. But his agent's saying it's committed to the Saints, and they're close to a deal. Ian Rappaport, they're close to a deal. Ben, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got for us, man?
Oh, where do I begin? You guys had a lot of topics that I want to tackle.
Sure.
It's great seeing you guys last weekend, or Friday. It was great seeing you guys. The whole deal about the LSU, you know, where their struggles are is, you know, they are not smart where it comes to tempo and where it comes to flow of a game. It's like they have this one speed where it's a little bit, you know, fast, you know, they start out fast, they get up to these big leads, and then they don't know how to take control. They let the game come to them, and then they play catch-up. What they need to do is, you know, play to your strength. If your strength is going fast, then you run that other team into submission. You know, get out fast and just stomp on their neck. If you want to slow it down, then you walk that ball up the court and don't even execute a play until you got 10 minutes left on the shot clock. They need to learn to take control, not wait for the game to materialize in the last, you know, 4 minutes when you're down two or when you're even. You know, they need to realize that they're in control and they need to, control things. So flow of a game is not their strong point. Hopefully Bedford will figure things out as far as that. The whole thing about I listened to the Dick Vitale, interview. It was very heated. It got he was almost screaming. He felt very strongly about how he felt. But, you know, the thing is, he has his favorites. You know, he has media darlings. The whole thing about Patino, he said, I'll destroy Patino. And, you know, Patino was ousted. I don't care how you think about Patino. Either you one way or the other, you either knew the players were getting paid and you turned a blind eye to it, or you lost control of your program. Either way you look at it, you're not my coach anymore. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think they were actually, you know, a little blasé on firing him. They should have fired him way before, you know, it got to where it did. So far as how to handle it, I don't really agree with the endorsement deal, because that's going to steer players to bigger markets. You know, that's already kind of a problem, that players want to go to, you know, big-time schools, big-name schools where they're going to get TV exposure. It's just going to exacerbate that problem if you start throwing endorsement deals where they can get paid on it, or, you know, get them with an agent. So I think, you know, a level playing field of you get this much thousand, and then, you know, throw a bonus structure in. Hey, you make the NCAA tournament. Hey, kid, you get an extra 2,000. You know, you win an NCAA title. You know, your team gets an extra million. Split that up among the players. You know, throw the incentives in there to make them win, but it's got to be a level playing field, or you'll have more of a problem of players going to, you know, big-name schools. Is that kind of – you guys kind of see where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah, so what would be your solution as to try to do that? What would you say you do?
Well, you know, there's different levels of college where it comes to football. There's FBS, FCS, or whatever. You know, I think the FBS teams definitely have a bigger, you know, cap, so to speak, to spend on kids. You know, like, I'm not in favor of them having, like, you know, a $3,000 a season cap or $5,000 a season cap on giving a player. And then FCS schools are a little bit lower, you know. I mean, that's just fair, you know, because not all these kids are going to go pro. But the ones that are going to go pro are definitely going to go to FBS. Same thing with college, you know. You know, if you're going to a Power 5 conference, you should be able to maybe have a little bit more money to spend, because those are high-dollar programs. But for the smaller programs like your Southern, Grambling, Southeastern, you can't handicap them in that way, because you have a lot of JUCO kids who can't make the grades for Power 5. You can't just basically say, well, you can't go to JUCO because you're not going to make any money. You know what I mean? You got to be able to, you know, help them out. I mean, it's got to be a collective thing to help the players and the institutions without handicapping anybody. So the current system doesn't work. I mean, that much has been, you know, proven. I used to love playing NCAA, you know, football on EA and NCAA basketball on EA, and then all of a sudden you had players saying, well, you're using my likeness, you know, and I'm suing you for billions of dollars. Now we can't even do that. Well, if the players were getting paid on the front end for using their likeness, we could still play those games. You know, we could have the names on the game instead of just having numbers. I mean, that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because I remember EA Sports, Ben, coming out saying that they would be in favor of doing it. The NCAA has to allow it. So look, I think one of the easiest ways for this to happen will be outside of the university themselves, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, the NCAA would have to put the guidelines in place. You know, they're really antiquated in that office, which, you know, Mark Emmert, who was the chancellor of LSU when I was there, is running the NCAA. I mean, he's like, oh, these kids are walking away with a college education. That's more valuable than anything. And for, you know, 98% of those athletes, it's true. But for the 2% that are driving the other 99% of the revenue, you know, that's not fair, you know, because football players especially, they're putting their bodies on the line. They could have life-altering injuries for basically for a high school diploma or for a college diploma, you know. And that's, I don't think that's fair, you know, especially in a physical game like that. Wrestlers, I mean, you know, they could have torn rotator cuffs and they're going to have to get operated on years down the line. I'm just saying, let's make it fair. But, you know, on the same time, let's have a pay scale that, you know, pays what it's worth. You know, football players definitely are going to get the lion's share of that. Basketball players are going to file behind them, and then baseball, and then swimmers, and then wrestlers and stuff. But you're not going to college for that paycheck. Yeah, it's nice because you get a cut of everything. But, you know, you also have to realize that that student comes before athlete. I mean, LSU, when you look at their bankroll, I think it's close to $1 billion of operating room. It's like something like 800, 900 million. Good Lord, you tell me you can't cut $50 million to give some players? I mean, I don't want to make them millionaires, but, I mean, you shouldn't have kids that can win a Heisman Trophy that are going hungry some night.
I hear you, Ben, and then I also at the same time don't think they're going hungry. I mean, again, I'm just telling you, I remember the UConn basketball player saying that, and I'm like, look. Yeah, I hear you. And look, I'm just telling you, I promise you, especially higher end schools and programs, those kids will never live like that again unless they become pro athletes. I can assure you of that. I can assure you of that.
The Stipend thing was a step in the right direction.
They are, they're afforded meals and given opportunity to eat throughout the day, to get all of that without having to pay, and gear and all that. And I understand that's not the same as getting a check for you to go spend on whatever you want. That's not what I'm saying. But I can promise you, you're not going hungry, and you're not spending a lot of the money, because you're giving a lot of the stuff by these universities as well to do it. Now, again, to your point, do you, you know, whether it's a stipend, whether it's different ways to go about it, like I said, I hear you. If you make school money that way, I don't know. I just kind of look at it from this perspective. So, is the school not supposed to try to put up a winning program and not to try to win games and try to, cause I mean, to do that, you need to recruit players, right? Let's just use the example that we were talking about last hour, Gary Smith, right? I mean, Tulane's got to recruit better players so they can win, so they hire a coach, they bring them in to go do those different things to do that. Well, if they succeed and they're successful, and those players that help them do that gives them the exposure to do that again, I try to take, and it's not that it's a bad thing, right? But like when Jordan says the one and done, and he brings up literally Hall of Fame names, but we forget the 90% of the players that want to go and think they're NBA ready and don't ever become Hall of Famers, you know? And that's what I'm saying. I still think there's a place for college basketball. I still think there's a place for some of those that are ready to go ahead and make that money. And I think a lot of times the arguments are made for, well, we should pay players, and they bring up Zion. We should pay players, or they bring up LeBron. And I mean, dude, that's like not even a percent of the amount of other college athletes that aren't ever going to get that kind of contract or shoe deal and all of that. And that's why I say it's easy to say pay a player. Gotcha. What about everybody else? The other ACC schools? What about the other players that don't bring in the sellouts like Cameron Indoor and things of that nature? You get what I'm getting at? I don't know how it's ever going to be fair, how it's ever going to be monitored, and where the money's ever going to come from. I don't know.
It's not yeah. going to be fair. That's why it's so hard to, that's why it's so hard to come up with a solution that is quote unquote fair, because mm-hmm. it's not. It's, you know, I mean, like the other schools, if you start paying players, the smaller schools are going to get hurt by this. And then, you know, you could see where, you know, a player that maybe like a two-star or whatever that, you know, has to go to a smaller school or wants to stay home because he wants to take care of his, you know, maybe he has a sick brother or something he wants to stay close to. You know, those schools are going to be hurt by that. You know, whereas before this kid could go to Duke, you know, if his brother wasn't sick or whatever, but no, he has to stay close to, you know, say like, you know, like say he has to stay close to Metairie, so he has to play at UNO or something, you know. So then there's less exposure, there's less money on the table, and it only hurts the smaller programs. That's why it's so hard of a solution to come up with. I mean, and it would be kind of dumb to say, well, you know, well, and maybe this could work. The conference as a whole puts up an amount of money, and it gets spread out to the different schools. Yeah, maybe you have one school in the conference that brings in more money, but is it really fair to take, you know, money from Tulane and give it to a smaller school because they're not driving in as much? I mean, I don't really think that's fair either.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to effort this as well, Ben. I spoke to somebody in the marketing department over at Tulane just because of what they do and doing that, because I have an opportunity to just talk to some of the people in the administration. I'd love to like know specifically how much of an athletic budget and where it all goes, even if it's just like ballpark and I can't get the exact numbers, but how much does marketing get? How much does this team get? How much does, where's the cost sort of go? Because again, I see it differently because I'm behind the scenes in the curtain. I just don't turn on the TV and there's the game. Look at the fans, look at the merch, look at the money to bring it in. That money is used. It's used to go back into the universities. It's used to go back into other students at other programs. It's used, like Clemson, to build facilities that offer their football players haircuts, bowling, arcades, you know, things of that nature. So it's used. It's not, you know, it's reinvested, I guess is the way to use it, in the community. It's reinvested into the facilities as well to make the colleges, you know, have a bigger name, get more money, win, do all those things. It's all kind of reinvested in there. So I'm going to try to do a show one day where we look at it from all the aspects. That's why I had it with one of the players that callers that called that said he's a former player. I want former athletes, coaches, you know, because the pressure to win is maybe sometimes to cheat or do different things. So I want to hear from coaches. I want to hear from players. I want to hear from administrators, like legitimately where it goes, right? Because a lot of times people don't kind of think of it like that. A chartered flight, a normal chartered flight, it's like $80,000 for a chartered flight for a team to go on a chartered flight. I mean, it's not 80. It's not 800 bucks.
Yeah, well, your company,
$80,000.
ESPN, your company, ESPN, did a couple of 30 for 30s about that. One called Pony Express.
Right.
Which that's the SMU train wreck. The other one was called the U and the U Part 2. Now, the U, Michael Irvin said that they were bigger celebrities than the Miami Dolphins at the time when they were winning the national championship. And then the U Part 2, you had the whole Nevin Shapiro thing, you know, where, you know, I mean, it got really ugly towards the end, but he's bringing them boat rides, bringing them, you know, strippers, and, you know, bringing them on binging parties, you know, at his house. I mean, like, you know, you're right, those guys don't go hungry. But not every program is like that.
Bingo. And that's my only thing, Ben. Thanks for the phone call, man. I have to take this break. But you bring up a lot of good points and a lot of interest in it. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's as clear cut as let's do this. Let's lay it out. You know, what's the plan? What do you go in that direction? How much? Who gets what? I've heard this in reference a lot to comes to football. Cause we're talking about it with basketball when it comes to Zion and stuff, but the Power Five conferences, right, with football, they make way more money than a lot of the other conferences when it comes to, and what should they do? Should they just kind of pull out of the NCAA? Because their trophy isn't an NCAA trophy, right? The Final Four, the College World Series, they hoist up an NCAA trophy. College football does not. So should that be governed differently? And again, it's I brought up earlier, the one sport that sells out the PMAC consistently is gymnastics. Should those ladies not be getting paid? They sell the building out. So I don't think it's clear cut. Doesn't mean you can't get it done. I just think it's, when it comes to money, Joey, you know this with the shows that you do. It's never going to be enough. B, where there's money, there's always going to be more. You're not going to solve corruption on it. And I saw that on a tweet. I'll get back to that. Plus, how many of y'all listening, we'll talk about this next. How many of y'all listening play softball? You just raise your hand. You don't play softball. What team do you play softball?
You don't know what I do in my off time.
Oh, I do. You nap. Sports Hangover continues next on how you can get your softball team sponsored. I'll talk about that on ESPN New Orleans next.
Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't fight.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
look, Ma, no hands.
And,
ouch, that hurts.
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
ooh, I don't feel so good,
relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov. Or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Listen up, folks. It's tax time at Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa. Keep your tax refund and trade in your old trailer home for something new. Homa's Clayton Homes, Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer has got to go. Remember, keep your tax refund in your pocket. And remember Homa's Clayton Homes. It's located right off of Highway 311 in Homa. And be sure to visit them on Facebook.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Don't forget Nichols Baseball when you're home for the Colonels. We'll take on Southern Miss. My Golden Eagles tomorrow. They'll join the intern. They do not go caw. That is not the sound of an eagle. That...
I don't know. A baby eagle?
An eagle in distress, perhaps. I can promise you a golden eagle does not go caw. Also, you can hear the game tomorrow, 6:30, right here with Brian Johnson, voice of the Cardinals, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6, 2, and 1. The first pitch times at Lamar. You can check that out. Tomorrow, Wednesday, your New Orleans Pelicans take on...
Say it with your chest next time.
What?
Making it sound like it's a loss already.
They play Thursday. Sacramento, you can hear it here, and Sunday against the Lakers. 5 p.m., by the way, Lakers. Going to go see LeBron?
Rather not.
You realize they don't have very many games left, do you?
Seems like they do.
You sound really, really thrilled about that. All right, so I teased it going to the break. For you softball players... I passed a bunch of them over by LaSalle and City Park. And, you know what I'm talking about. You're professional softball players. I call you pros because y'all take it serious, right? If you play in your leagues, so Bush Beer. They just tweeted the following, Joey. We want to sponsor your softball team. You could win a $5,000 signing bonus, $10,000 if you win your league, custom jerseys, a local ad campaign, and Bush for the season. Reply with your team name and why we should sponsor you, including hashtag sponsored by Bush in contest. They have the details on the link. Go check it out on Twitter if you're one of those teams around here that wants to get sponsored. And nice jerseys.
They're nice jerseys.
I mean, those are nice jerseys.
But what does it mean for Bush for the season?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it could be anything. It should say Bush Beer for the season.
Jordan, that's what they're saying.
Well, they need to be more clear.
No, I'm pretty sure many people listening got that. Bush for the season, as in beer for the season.
Does it mean during the season, the softball season? Or
yes, for the season. You got it.
During the season after.
For your cooler. You know, after you pop up to the pitcher. You can get right back into the dugout and Bush.
So now it isn't just softball that we're playing.
What?
No, you don't get it.
It's Cleveland football.
Exactly. Thank you, Joe.
No, it's softball. We want to sponsor your softball team. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Softball team. That's brilliant, actually. $5,000 is not. And you know there it is. I got somebody. Somebody just chimed in. So softball teams can get sponsored, but not Zion and college athletes. There you go. I mean, it's...
What about Southern Miss War Eagles?
There it is. Wow.
Does that not sound any, different than what I just did? That sounded exactly what I just did.
Wow. That first off, that's a seagull.
No, it's
that's
Southern,
an eagle.
I Googled Southern Miss... Warhawks or Eagle, and that's what it gave me. It said sick bird. Sorry. Sick bird. Very sick bird. I see you, sick bird.
You want to join the league and we could be called the sick birds?
Yeah. The Sick Birds. Black and gold. I don't mean the Saints.
Speaking of,
uh-oh.
Feel free to continue to fill in. We literally just got a text. Marcus Sherrills is speaking now. Like the rest of the media in the text group is going, can we have more than a 1 minute heads up? I mean, like, I am not even remotely joking. I'm digging in my bag so Jordan can record.
I just see you getting up.
Yeah.
You know, I could have got that for you.
Well, do you have the recorder at hand? Because I didn't. I looked at my phone and it goes, dial in.
You're getting behind the scenes right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, trust me, there's a couple of local reporters that are letting the Saints Media Relations Department have it right now. I mean, yeah.
By the way, do you have the dongle?
By the way, dial in. I mean, that's literally what we just got. So let me set Jordan up. We'll take the quick break. Marlon Favorite wants to chime in. We'll talk a little football here with him. Did y'all watch Johnny Manziel?
Yes.
And you did?
I did.
Well, he dropped some language, huh?
Yeah, but you know the game. Did you know that was the first AAF overtime game?
Oh, well, there you go.
Hey, I follow everything. Even Johnny, when he started cursing, I turned it low, and it came across with the, what is it, for the impaired hearing?
Yeah,
he just
exactly.
Said, hashtag at
exactly.
Something.
That's exactly how it goes. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk with Marlon Favorite, and we'll see if we can get Marcus, at least the sound from it, before the show wraps up. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on Royal Street has become a New Orleans favorite with its delicious southern coastal cuisine and its over 50 craft beers on tap. And now, when you travel to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, you can visit their new location inside the Boomtown Casino in Biloxi.
This is Deuce McAllister from Boomtown Casino Biloxi. Looking for a fun and inviting dining atmosphere to watch your favorite games? Stop by my newest addition to Boomtown Casino Biloxi, Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
The years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero IT experience. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. It is the Sports Hangover. Marlon Favorite, I Big Fave 504 is a way to follow over on Twitter. What's going on, Marlon? What's going on, man? How are you this weekend?
Man, beautiful weekend. The weather cooperated. I enjoy it. I hope the whole city and our listeners enjoy it too. Hello, somebody. Talk to me now.
I hear you. Let's talk a little bit. Obviously, the AAF going on. We were kind of joking a little bit about this when the Canadian Football League banished Johnny Manziel. And we were like, well, maybe he's going to the AAF. He did. He played for Memphis yesterday. I know you and I have talked about this league as being an opportunity for players to maybe get some, you know, some chances and it kind of work on their game here as well. Did you get a chance to see Johnny football yesterday?
I didn't get a chance to see Johnny football, but I heard that Memphis isn't too happy with what a fan didn't really give him a round of applause per se. well, you know, I guess that all stems from not only his time out of the Canadian Football League, but just the stain he left, you know, the folks in his country when he played with Cleveland. So, I don't know. I thought it was a smart move to signed Johnny to that Memphis team with all those Tigers on it. That team must have a thing for some SEC players, aren't they?
Yeah, they do. They have a ton, including Zach Mettenberger from LSU. So, look, I think one of those things that you kind of look at this league just to kind of – it's football, and at the end of the day, people will watch it and check it out. I watched about 2.5 quarters of it yesterday afternoon of one of the games, and, I mean, it wasn't terrible, you know, around it as well. There is something, I guess, obviously missing, but it's probably because you follow and you know – college football, you follow and you know the NFL. I think just of it being new and not really knowing too much of that roster probably is one of the reasons. It's just a little different when you watch it.
Yeah, it's a little different in the sense of that too, Gus. But I think the biggest thing fans can take out of this league is the amount of talent that's actually there. I mean, we sit here, we talk about Johnny Manziel, but he passed the eyeball test along with the skills test because he did go first round to Cleveland. So the talent level with the AAF is there. And the opportunity is good for the players and coaches. A lot of the coaches that's coaching in this league, most of them probably have aspirations of getting back into the NFL or being first-time NFL coaches. So I think it's interesting. I think it's cool for the fans to check out.
No doubt. Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 joins us Mondays and Fridays. We talk a little football as well. Of course, your LSU Fighting Tigers, a little college football, spring game coming up here in a little bit. But of course, before that, you got to get into your practices and your working outs. And, where are we at this point with the team? I know we talked about that 2 weeks ago when they started and really last week. Just, I guess you're growing and you're, you know, trying to get together with the new players that come in as well. But when the closer you get to the spring game, what exactly are you trying to kind of put into the system?
I think the coaches really want to see who they can trust in fall camp. I think that's really what's going on with LSU right now in regards to spring ball. You had a handful of players that set out. Dylan set out of practice, the wide receiver. Glenn Logan, he set out of practice as well. Nothing to, really get excited about. I think, during this time, guys are sore from the workouts, the training, and the practices. Even though it's not practices happening every day, spring ball, it's much easier than fall ball, but it still takes a toll on the body. So, I mean, I just think this is an opportunity for the coaching staff not only to see which players are emerging to that top spot, because it's question marks, right? Mm-hmm. Folks want to know how Joe Burrow is going to perform. His sophomore performance with the Tigers, not actually a sophomore in the classroom, but it's your second year with us. We have a handful of new young running backs coming in. So right now you have Clyde there. You have Leonard Fournette. Will those guys get reps like they got last year, with new class of running backs coming in? So it's a number which that's taken inside the trenches. What guys up front on defense is going to be the next big thing to come through? So it's a lot of question marks, and I look forward to the spring game early next month.
I think one of the other things, too, Marlon, you and I talked about this throughout the season. I know Eric Alexander and I talked about it when he would join us on Thursdays through the season, too. And you got a guy like Devin White. I mean, look, it's when Patrick Peterson and the Honey Badger left. It's to say who replaces a player like that is underselling, right? I mean, you can't really replace a player like that. It's, who's the next guy that can kind of step up and make plays, I guess, would be that situation. When you look at LSU's linebacking core, is there somebody that you think can make plays? I'm not saying like Devin White because he's special, but make plays.
Well, just taking a look at the depth chart, if there's a potential playmaker, of course, there's Jacob Phillips. We know what he was able to do last year when he had to fill in for Devin White to be able to hold it down for the Tigers. And then there's Mikers Baskerville, another guy that had to step in last year to fill that role as well when Devin White was out. Now, two guys that are veterans, guys that have shown and proved that they can, be big playmakers, is the Phil-side linebacker, Michael Divinity, and, of course, the rover, Patrick Queen. You know, will they come back fresh, renewed? Because, I mean, the spot is yours now. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the next emerging star? I mean, every play Devin White was on, he was either around the pile or the first person to make the tackle. You know, who's going to, you know, emerge out of this spring as that guy? So it'll be interesting to see, especially that linebacker core. I'm looking forward to matchups. Even in the secondary, that's a very aggressive receiving core. And if, you know, these defensive backs could step up and do well, that would be good, too. So I don't think the Tigers take a step off losing a Greedy Williams and a Devin White. I do think we have that amount of talent. But like last year, I do look to see young talent step in right out of high school and do well, guys like John Emery. So I look forward to seeing him in the fall.
We don't know yet, Marlon Favorite, as Big Fave 504 is a way to follow you over on Twitter as we transition over to the Saints here. Anything more on Jared Cook? The deal's still waiting to officially be done. Looks like they've agreed it. It just, you know, it's had been tweeted by the team that it's been there or a press release. But Robert Quinn visiting the team today. Dallas, New Orleans, the two teams that are vying for his services. And he's visited with the Cowboys last week, visiting with the Saints today. Now, you're a Cowboy fan, which is going to irk, you know, of course, one of our callers. But I'm just asking you as a D lineman, what system do you think he fits best in?
Well, for Robert Quinn, it really, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. He was my teammate out with the when it was the St. Louis Rams, now the L.A. Rams. His rookie year, he balled out, man, a really good defensive end. Both systems really fit him. I mean, he's a 4-3 defensive end. That's what he's made most of his sacks at. Now, just recently he was in Miami's defense. And, I mean, you know, they run the 3-4, so it was a different role for him. I guess hence the reason he only lasted there for a year or two. But it's a flip of the coin. For the Saints, I think he would probably replace Okafor, if I'm saying that right, you know, in terms of impact player. If Davenport doesn't give us that, because, I mean, he has to bring it this year, right? It's that sophomore year, you know, you got the rookie jitters out of your system. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy like Robert Quinn is a veteran, started some years in the league. I think he's someone that can pop in and do well. So it will be interesting to see. I think he may end up choosing Dallas. Shout out to the Dallas fans that's out there listening. Just because, it, you know, the franchise tag, I think this will be DeMarcus Lawrence is what? Second, third year on the franchise tag. So he'll probably have a better long-term situation with Dallas. So it'll be interesting to see how him and his agent decide they're going to move on that.
All right, just seeing where you kind of fall into the category of where Robert Quinn would be, Cowboys or Saints going into that. Hey, let me ask you this. Rob Gronkowski announcing his retirement. 9 years, 29 years old. Are you surprised he's calling it this early, or when you see all the injuries he's had to deal with, not surprised? I'm not surprised because he's almost like turned into like half the athlete that he was just a couple seasons ago and all those different injuries that he's had. I get it, man. A guy's popular. I think there's a huge life after football for him in, you know, anything, especially TV related. I'm not surprised, but 29 is young to call it a career.
Yeah, he's a guy. Gus, I remember when I was with the Patriots, I want to say that was his second year in the league, rookie or second year in the league. Just a, you know, really good locker room guy, always smiling, happy. He's like the life of the party type guy. So you're right, Gus. He definitely has a future in television. I can see him in movies with The Rock or something like that. That really fits his personality for sure. But it doesn't, I'm with you, Gus. It doesn't surprise me that he decided to retire. If you look at the amount of injuries, and then you have to look at the success too. 3 Super Bowls. So what else is there left for Rob Gronkowski to do? Keep in mind, he's already a first round, Hall of Fame ballot recipient. I mean, he's going to, whenever it's his time to come up, he's going to go in. And 29, I mean, he has a lot of time to consider, does he want to come back to the game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does he sit for a year or two and come back? Or will he enjoy what me and you do, Gus, which, again, fits his personality, you know, on television or even, you know, straight into Hollywood. But it does shake up free agency, and it makes him think about Jared Cook more, especially with the announcement of the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. Will the Patriots try to take a stab at Jared Cook? Is that the reason this is going slow? But I do think, like Ben Watson, Jared Cook is an athletic tight end that can make some things happen. So I hope we can get him down here with the black and gold, because it would be a good fit. And maybe we'll find something out tonight or later tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Waiting to see how it goes. Finally, how's your bracket look, Marlon, over the weekend? How's it look?
I missed the brackets again. I suck at this, right? I'm like terrible. I was going to actually ask you the same question. How does it look? Honestly, I'm just really looking forward to Friday out in D.C. to see Michigan and LSU, Michigan State and LSU play. But I missed it again. See, Gus, y'all do a really good job over there with our team at ESPN New Orleans getting me the fantasy football stuff. I didn't get the brackets. I wanted to get with either you or Ralph on that one, so I missed out. So you got to tell me how you look.
Well, joining the interns, what, tied for second?
That is correct.
Yep. I'm up the 20th, Marlon. I'm up the 20th. There you go.
Oh, man. Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, so sad.
Thank you, bud.
So
appreciate sad. It. Talk again at the end of the week. There he goes. Marlon Favorite. The NFL, with an announcement, we now know who will kick off the NFL's 100th season. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bears and the Packers.
Cleveland and San Diego.
No, it's the Bears and the Packers.
Okay.
Did I ruin it for you?
You did.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted.
Packers at the Bears will be Thursday, September 5th. Now, normally the Thursday night games have been hosted by the team that won the Super Bowl. It's gone back a couple of years. The Patriots are actually going to host, opponent coming later, Sunday night football on September 8th when they raise the Super Bowl banner.
Ooh,
so Packers and Bears, though, look, it's the longest rivalry, right? I mean, it's the franchises, the history that they have in the NFL. That's why they're doing it. It's been long rumored that was going to be the case, but it is. So at least now, no. Packers at Chicago, September 5th, to start the regular season. What you got?
Well, you said you didn't watch any of the AAF, right?
Yes, I did not.
Okay, I'm going to give you some intro music because, man, they do the most beautiful intros.
Okay.
This is for next week's Johnny Manziel, Memphis versus Atlanta. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
It is rated TV MALSV. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
I guess you're right. You're right. It is when it comes to Johnny Foosball. It wasn't terrible. He was just, you know, mic'd up and was given a defensive player the business verbally. 800-998-1003. We'll talk a little bit more as we wrap the show up. Coming up top of the hour, Matt Moscone. And after further review, we'll have more, of course, on LSU's win against Michigan State. I mean, against Maryland, and getting ready as they take on Michigan State. Friday night, 6 o'clock. We'll go over the rest of the Sweet 16 here as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around.
Listen up, folks. It's tax time at Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa. Keep your tax refund and trade in your old trailer home for something new. Homa's Clayton Homes. Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer has got to go. Remember, keep your tax refund in your pocket. And remember Homa's Clayton Homes. It's located right off of Highway 311 in Homa. And be sure to visit them on Facebook.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck in no time. So you can haul gravel, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. And now get a 1 Series for just $99 a month at your nearest participating John Deere dealer. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Search John Deere 1 Series for more. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors. Chevy, find new roads.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Randy, give me about a minute or so here, because Jordan the intern quickly cut up Marcus Sherrills here. Just spoke on the conference call literally at 2:25. So why the Saints, Marcus? That's what he had to say.
I've heard a lot of good things. Obviously, they're a great team, really good organization, and they have a need at punt returner. So I'm ready to come in and compete and try to win the job.
How many other teams were interested?
There were a few teams out there who were interested, but I'm excited the Saints showed interest, and I'm excited to be here.
Obviously, one of the things, him being a returner, that's why they got him. 5 TDs.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of experience back there. Lucky to have 5 touchdowns, but a lot goes into it, you know. I've had a lot of good blockers in my career, so that definitely helped.
You know, one of the things that the Saints have done is really well with undrafted guys, right? Sherrills, an undrafted guy himself.
I just take the same approach each and every day. Just try to get better. Try not to make the same mistakes over and over again and try to learn. Try to learn every day and try to improve and work on my craft.
Another question that was asked of him is how weird is it to be in a new place? He's been in Minnesota for a couple of years already.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a different adjustment. You know, I've never lived anywhere else but Minnesota. I was talking earlier that it was about 40 degrees up there last week, and that was hot to us. And now I'm feeling it's 80 degrees, and it's pretty different. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited to learn and see new things.
Of course, you got to ask the token question. Have you had any of the food yet since he's been down here?
Not quite yet, but I'm anxious to try it.
There you go. Thank you, Jordan.
You're welcome, Gus.
I appreciate it. Randy, thanks for holding on, bud. What you got, man?
Hey, what's up, Gus? How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's happy to go anywhere that'll give him a check that'll clear. But I was kind of calling because the Tommy Lee Lewis role that with returner, him playing wide receiver. Do you think that they still bring back Tommy Lee Lewis? Because if you can remember,
he signed with Detroit. Tommy Lee Lewis signed with Detroit, so he's gone.
When did he sign with Detroit?
Last week.
Wow. Because, that's who Sean went to, with the championship game on the line was Tommy Lee Lewis with, out the wheel route, out the backfield. But anyway, somebody asked me today who was a bigger loss, Ingram or Unger. And I had to think about it, and I said Unger because even when the offensive line was healthy last year, I felt like we leaned on Kamara even in bigger situations. But I tell you this, I don't think that Latavius Murray will be the only back besides Alvin Kamara on the roster, not only because of depth. I do think that Sean Payton will go out and get a quality running back in a draft because I'm not too high on Latavius Murray. What do you think about him?
It's funny. I actually have told some people I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised in Latavius Murray of what he being able to bring. Because here's what I say, Randy. The first thing that makes me think that he's going to be okay And not to say that there's never mistakes. There have been in the Peyton Loomis era. But if you trust and have trusted, especially recently, what this staff and organization has brought in talent-wise, then if you know there's a possibility, because you have to imagine, Randy, here my logic. You have to imagine going into free agency. You have several plans, right? Keep Mark, not keep Mark, keep so-and-so, not keep so-and-so, Okafor, right? Because almost immediately when the other player signed, they brought in somebody. So obviously you have months, you have weeks. There's the whiteboard that Sean Payton always talks about, having players, the contingencies, the works. So if the fact that Latavius Murray, by all accounts and understanding, right, there was no other reports that the team looked at any other running back. If anything, the fact that it happened so quickly and then Mark Ingram was left to, I better go sign with somebody, and he had to settle for less than he asked the Saints, gives me the understanding. And remember, the Saints gave $7.2 million in guaranteed money to Murray, and just over six is what the Ravens gave Ingram. So the Saints gave more guaranteed money to the back that they wound up signing. So I guess what I'm saying is this, Randy. They targeted him in case they couldn't get Ingram. So they had weeks and they had months to look at all the available running backs. And if Sean Payton and them said, that's our guy, and they were going to guarantee him $7 million, they wanted to make sure, by the accounts and understanding that I have, the second Ingram was not going to be an option, they went to go get Murray off the market. So what I'm saying is, if you trust Sean and everything else that he does, then just ask yourself this. Why was he the guy they targeted first? And why was he the guy they went after and gave them enough money to where he wouldn't test any other team? You get what I'm saying? That's why I have confidence it's going
to
work.
I do. And Gus, to be honest with you, when you look at the money, the guaranteed money, I think it's over long-term, over the three-year deal, I think it's like only $1.5 million right. in guaranteed money that Ingram would have gotten instead of signing with us. But to be honest with you, it just seems like Peyton, even if they could have came to terms, I just think Peyton wanted to move on from Ingram. Doesn't it seem like that to you?
No, I don't. I think they wanted him back, and I promise you, from everything I've been told, if his agent would have called the Saints and said, give me $5 million, 3 years, he'd be a New Orleans Saint. That's not what they
asked. You
think so? Yes. They were asking $7.5 million, even $8 million, and they weren't going to do that. So, hey, man, I got to pass along this info. Thank you, Randy. Gail Benson speaking at the owners' meetings right now. The key phrase that she's saying here, we're going to get into a lot more of what she has to say, but Gail Benson was asked on the continuing chatter on the potential of selling the Pelicans. Remember, you know my stance on this. I've been saying it. This is from her mouth. Quote, there is no way I'm going to sell that team ever. Not pretty much anything else you can read into that. Right, Jordan? Not going to sell that team
ever.
Ever. Again, it's what I keep saying. Why, you don't come across billion-dollar companies often. When you have two, why would you sell it? Hire people to make it more successful. Hire the right people to win. Why would you sell it because you're losing? That's not, mind you, win-loss losing. You're not losing when it comes to the bottom line. The investment has more than doubled, almost tripled in value. Sure, they're second to last in the rankings in terms of value, but last, number 30 in the NBA, it's a billion. They're a billion and some change. You just hire people to win and becomes more successful. You're not going to just sell it because they haven't won on the court. That's not sound business thinking at all. So, anyway, that's what Gail Benson had to say. We'll have what she has to say on other topics tomorrow. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.